is up, you guys? Welcome back. I know you missed me. I know I've been gone for so long. Like, honestly, I feel like I say this, like, every couple months where I'm like, I've been gone for so long. But, like, realistically, like, I'm a Taurus, first of all. And we do that a lot where, like, we get in these modes where, like, we just don't want to talk or, like, we're going through something. And we just need to retreat from everybody and just be real, real, real low-key. And I find myself falling into that habit a lot. Like, not even just with my podcast, like I do that in my personal life too. Like my friends will not hear from me for months because I'm either going through something or like just in my own mode, or I just want to feel my own emotions and not be around other people. And I just be putting myself in a little box, and I enjoy my box very, very much. But that has taken me away from my craft and my platform and what I'm aiming to do here. And what I'm aiming to do here is connect to my audience and share my experience and give other people, you know, the platform to share their experience and be excited to, you know, talk about their journey and what they've gone through. I feel like I've done a lot of work to really emphasize that. And, you know, at the end of the day, I have to remember that I'm a real person too. And like, my podcast is my podcast. It's amazing. It's, you know, a platform for myself and for others to just share and just be vulnerable. But there are times in my life where I just want to be quiet and where I just want to be. Tiana Heath, aka Miss T-Talk, who was just recently on the show, actually. First of all, me being like off the grid and not really posting episodes and not really focusing on my podcast, like I've been seeing a lot of great content online, like a lot, like, and touching on great things that need to be spoken about. But my homegirl, Tiana, she had posted something. I have, like, my bullet points or, like, my talking points for the episode. And, like, she's on here a lot because, like, lately I've been seeing a lot of things that she's just been posting that are just, like, good for creatives right now. Because I feel like we're all going through what I like to call the winter blues. You know, the weather gets colder. It gets darker earlier. It's darker for longer. So I feel like, you know, this is the time people go through the most shit. Especially around the holiday season. Seasonal depression is real. And if you are somebody who is struggling with seasonal depression, I want you to know that I hear you. I see you. You are needed. You are loved. You are necessary. You are powerful. And there's nothing you cannot overcome. I think that I'm one of those people who knows that it's coming every single year. And I say I'm going to do this and do that to try to, you know, just minimize how it affects me. But you're going to go through what you're going to go through. You're going to feel what you're going to feel. And that's okay, because that's what we're supposed to do as humans. But it's important sometimes to really just exist. And Tiana had posted on her story one day, and she was just talking, and she was just like, I just feel like existing this week. And like, I felt that. Like, that was me the entire month of December. Like, I just want to exist. I just want to be here. I don't really want to do too much. Like, life be hard, dude. And I feel like creating content when you're feeling like that is very hard as well, because she posted something else like maybe like a few weeks after her original post that I had seen, and she was just like creating content and it was a tweet I think of hers that she reposted, and she was like, creating in survival mode is so hard. Like, we all go through periods of that where we're just here and where we have a lot of shit on our plate, and life is kind of, you know, kicking our ass a little bit. And I think that when I'm in survival mode, my last priority is creating, you know what I mean? Like, and I hate that. What I do here in these four walls and just behind my mic and behind my camera, like, it's different because I share a different part of myself. I share a lot of things about myself that, you know, the people that know me don't even actually know, you know? I share how I feel. Like, I'm very vulnerable here, but there are times when I can't create because I don't feel like my best self. And I remember early on in my podcast journey, like, I had made sure that I always, if I didn't feel 100% good about something, I didn't want to put it out. And I know that when I create in those times, I'm only doing it to put something out. And it's like, yes, that's great. Putting your face out there and making sure you're constantly seen on your fans' timeline is what you're supposed to do. But not necessarily when it's just something that you're not really doing because you enjoy anymore. You know what I mean? But not to say that I don't enjoy podcasting, obviously. But again, life just be hard. And creating in survival mode is just not something that I can do. you know? I feel real talk show hostish with my little teacup, period. One thing I also had to learn when it comes to, you know, being in survival mode and just existing, especially when it comes to being a podcast host, like, my audience is going to be there for me no matter what. My audience is always going to understand what I'm going through because that's why they enjoy my show, because I share and I express myself and my experiences. And they know that when I come back and I feel better and I'm ready to talk, like, the tea going to be hot and the episode going to be fire. So, like, and that's something I also think that my friends have helped a lot with me just understanding, like, because my homegirls will send me, like, throughout the week, be like, oh, I just listened to this episode again and I feel this way towards it. My opinion changed on it. You know what I mean? Like, they're so into my show and I love that. And they're really the ones that are like, girl, like, you got a lot, because they obviously see more than you guys see, because obviously I bring what I want to bring to this table. But with my friends, they see so much more. So they know, like, girl, you're going through so much, like, your audience is going to wait for you. And when you are ready to share this story and say even more about what you've been through, they're going to love you even more. So I think that anybody who is a creative and trying to, you know, perfect your craft and get your voice heard and be seen out there, like, it's okay to take a step back. And I know I say that all the time, but I'm really a true believer of that. And, like, yeah, that just explains, like, where I've been, why I've been, you know what I mean? I've also been in love. So, like, you know, and I'm a firm believer in, like, to all the women that have gone through BS in their love lives and just finally found somebody that really cherishes them and loves them. I'm a firm believer in allowing yourself to bask in that love and in that energy, 100%. So that's also what I'm doing as well. But, you know, this has been my first holiday without Bane. So, you know, that's also an extra layer to it. While I've been trying to be really optimistic and really positive when I think about this, because I met my boyfriend 2 weeks or so after Bane had passed away. So I try to, you know, shift my mind into, you know, thinking positively this way, where it's like, yes, I lost my dog and, you know, my best friend, my companion, but I also gained somebody really, really, really dope in my life that I really cherish just as much, you know, that I love just as much. And although I be catching myself sometimes just getting so sad because I'm like, damn, my boyfriend's mad cool, my dog was mad cool, like, they would have got along so well. But, like, that's also the cycles of grief. Like, it'll just have you envisioning your life with them, or, like, what would, you know what I mean, what would life have been with them here, or, like, with them meeting this new person, you know what I mean? But, like, that's just grief sending you in that whirlwind of thoughts and emotions and what ifs and all of that. But, you know, it was my first holiday without my dog, so, like, there's just so many stages of grief that I'm going through, you know, family related and also internally, because I feel like every time somebody says, oh, I'm grieving, people often think, like, oh, death in a family, or, you know, loss of a loved one. But, you know, there's also the, I thought my life would be different grief. I thought my life would be better grief. I thought I would be more financially stable at this point in the game grief, grieving what you thought your life would be at this point. But with that, I've learned to give myself self-compassion. Self-compassion is really just the same care and love and attentiveness that you give to others, like your family members or your friends. Like, self-compassion is you giving that to yourself and really giving yourself grace and allowing yourself to go through the motions. And I also think that in this day and age, it's very, very hard to really understand the fact that all of our lives are going to happen when they're supposed to. You know what I mean? Or, like, everything in our lives are going to happen when they're supposed to. Because I feel like social media has us thinking, like, there's so many people our age that are rich, that have this, that have that, that are doing this. But when you're scrolling through social media all day, it's very easy to point out the things that are not like that in your life. And, like, in 2024, we really need to learn to scroll through your apps, have your laughs, close these apps, and go live your life. Like, I feel like we're so heavily influenced by what we see on social media, and we need to be more influenced by what we want in reality, honestly. And I think that's something that 2023 has also taught me, because it, you know, you find yourself when you start to do like the self-work and you start to grow and you start to try to heal and be a better woman or better person overall, you start to realize all of your bad habits or all of your negative habits. And like, I would see myself scrolling on social media like, damn, like she on vacation again. Like, damn, her brain just did this again. Like, girl, clap for those people because they're doing this. Clap for those people because they're getting their flowers right now. Because I'm sure they're going to be clapping for you when it's your time. So I had to catch myself when it came to me just getting stuck in that loop of just mental chaos, and also come to terms with just my timing. I think I've never really been so okay with where I am, because I know that I've said this before on the show. I firmly believe that I'm going to get everything that I've manifested in my life. I'm going to get everything that I've said I wanted. I'm going to get everything that I'm working so hard to obtain, because my manifestation is real and the universe is on my side at all times. And I know that, and I believe that, because I've seen that and I know that that's true. So like, you can't really question your timing when you know that everybody's timing is different, you know? Things, I think also, it takes, because we often say like, oh, I wish I was in a better place. Like, we often say that we're going to be grateful for where we are in life until it comes down to actually being put in a situation where you're like, okay, I have to be grateful for this. I can't take this as a negative or a loss or a blow. I have to be grateful for this. And I think for me, it took me actually like taking some L's, and then later on down the line, taking some wins, because I had, you know what I mean? Like, my wins made sense as to why I had to take those losses back then. Like, for example, I don't know if I might have told y'all this. I don't remember. But the qualifying exam that I had to take for school, I'm going to John Jay College to get my master's degree in criminal justice. If you didn't know, now you know. But in order for me to take my last courses, I had to pass a qualifying exam. It was two parts. I took my first attempt was in May. I took both parts. Passed the first part, failed the second. Had to wait the rest of the whole semester to take the next part. So what I did was I took the semester off that I had to wait to take my test, because I just wanted to study. And I only have two classes left until I graduate. So I was just like, yeah, I'm going to take the semester off, get my shit together, study, and do everything I can to prepare for this test. Because first of all, it was very hard. I think I said that on the show the first time I took it. It was very hard. And the way the school presented it was you only get two attempts and you have to pass in order to take the class that you need to graduate. So for me, it was like, damn, if I don't pass the second attempt, what am I going to do? So I took the second attempt December 18th, like 2 or 3 weeks ago now. And I passed. So I was able to register for my courses. So I go back to school very, very soon. And I graduate even sooner. So it's like, now that I got the win, I understand why I needed the loss at first. And first of all, respectfully, now that I'm saying it out loud, I'm really, you know, and I'm really like locked in with my head right now for real. But the time that I failed the test wasn't really a loss either. It was kind of like an alley-oop to get to a better win. So I think I'm just truthfully, and this is another thing one of my homegirls had said to me. She was like, girl, like everything that you went through in this semester of you not being at school was a blessing in disguise. Because if you would have been in school, if you would have passed that test and you would have been in school, you would have been swamped because of everything that you had gone through. Mind you, I had just lost my dog right after I found out that I failed the test. Life has just been up and down since that. So respectfully, she's right. Like, I wouldn't have been able to do it if I was still in school this semester. So I had to fail my test. I had to take the semester off just for me to bounce back and be better and do something different and just come back stronger and really take my win. So finding out that I passed has really been like the a great joy in my life because I really, really, really feel like I needed a win. Like I deserved a win so bad because I had been taking just all my silent L's in such grace and just being so humble and just keeping pushing. And I really needed a win. So I'm just proud of myself. This is the first time I'm actually talking about it, like out loud by myself. So I'm just being emotional, child. Shh, wait. Another thing I wanted to talk about on today's episode, the difference in dating people who are raised in love versus dating people who are raised in survival. I feel that I was raised in survival just because of the things that I had, just because of the things that I experienced. Me saying that I feel like I was raised in survival doesn't mean that there was an absence of love, because wholeheartedly, I was loved. I'm still loved. And I know that, and I feel that, and I believe that. So don't get me wrong on there was never an absence of love, but I do believe that everything that I've endured and seen and just experienced overall in my entire life, I was raised in survival. And that's okay. Shout out to my survivors. Yeah. But on the flip side, the person that I'm dating right now, I feel was raised in love. And I feel like the people that weren't raised in survival, their thought process in how they feel, how they carry themselves, and how they respond to things is different from the people that were raised in survival. Because I feel like for me, like my response to something might be more aggressive or might be more stern because that's what I've learned. That's, you know, a coping mechanism that I've acquired to be who I have to be when I'm in survival mode. You know what I mean? So I think that the thinking is just different. And like when it comes to like me and my boyfriend, for example, two polar opposites, I feel, because he has this very gentle, soft, like lovable approach. And for me, like I lead with my alpha female dominance. I lead with that because I feel like that's how I get the most respect. I don't know what it is. I never actually thought about that out loud until I just said that. But I lead with my alpha female dominance because I feel that that persona is respected more. Because I feel like, you know, as women, when you're soft, and you're so sweet and nice, you get walked all over. And I feel that also as a Black woman in general, I feel like we've been programmed to lead with our alpha female dominance. We've been programmed to lead with our hyper independence. And that is just something I also embody. So for him, it's like, there'll be times where I'll come with a hostile or aggressive approach because I don't, you know, I might not like what he's saying, or we just may be in an argument, and his first forefront is always loving and always genuine, because for him, the confrontation is like, for what? You know what I mean? So even if I'm bugging out, he'd be like, yo, are you okay? Like, do you want to talk to me? Like, what's up? What happened? What's wrong right now? What are you thinking about right now? You know what I mean? Like, he'll break it down so that the confrontation does end up seeming like, for what? Like, I was bugging for what? I enjoy that. And I didn't really peep the difference between people until I had seen something on Instagram that was talking about it. And it made me look at my own relationship. I was like, damn, like, not even just for me and him, like for my relationships with everybody that I'll ever meet in general, everybody's thought process is different. Everybody's upbringing is different. Everybody's beliefs are different. So it's like, you really have to take people for who they are. And also the things that you experience and the things that you carry around with you every day don't have to be your end all be all. Because I see myself, I guess because I am in a relationship and I do feel really, really loved and very, very like taken care of. And I don't know, I feel like he worships the ground that I walk on, which is everything that I've ever wanted. But I feel like when it comes to him, like this also goes back to the topic of being submissive. I feel like that's the biggest debate in America right now. But when it comes to him, because he is just a masculine man that doesn't have to lead with his male dominance, because his masculinity is felt immediately, it makes me want to tone down my alpha female side, or just put her to the side and just be soft and just be thriving in my femininity. And I've never experienced that before, because it's like, I feel like a lot of all my my entire history of dating people, I feel like I've only been attracted to the kind of person or situation where I have to end up showing that I'm dominant, or I have to end up showing that, like, no, I'll leave you alone if I need to. You know what I mean? I don't feel like I've ever, because I also don't feel like that was a boundary for me. Like, I feel if I would have set that boundary for myself, like, any man that makes me feel like I have to be my alpha female aggressive self, I don't want to be around them. Because realistically, who wants to live like that? And I think for a long time, I didn't realize that that was why my selections and the people that I was talking to wasn't working for me. Because even after a while, it'd be like, well, what do you like in this person? Like, what? There's so many red flags. They're not, and when somebody's energy doesn't match with your energy, that's also a really, really telling sign that they're just not the person for you. And I also feel like how people, this is another thing that makes me, you know, look at my boyfriend differently, because it's like, just, that's just, I don't know, just his whole energy as a man is different than I've ever experienced. But even the way that he'll react to me in certain ways, like if we're in an argument and like I get him too, if he gets upset and like gets angry, which I feel like we can't fault our partners for getting angry with us or for, you know, raising their voice or, you know what I mean? Because sometimes you really do be angry and you really do be having something to beef about. So it'd be like, no, fuck you. Like, you know what I mean? But when he gets too angry and like he can tell that I'm getting hostile and aggressive and I'm going into my nonchalant alpha female energy, he don't like that crossover. So like when he sees that I'm leading there, he's also a Gemini who has an inner nonchalant man in him too. So like my nonchalant side triggers his. So when he sees that he's getting triggered by me, he'll automatically be like, we'll talk about this later. I need space. I need time. And I love that. All while being like, yo, I love you. Because that's the first thing I was like, I love you, but like, I need a second from you. Having someone who cares about how they react to you and the way they respond to you is everything. Because, you know, like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I guess I just used to go after the wrong type of dude. Like, just making me feel hyper independent, super alpha female energy out. Like, why are you talking to this guy if he's not making you feel soft, warm, and fuzzy? Come on. I wish younger me knew that. Because back then I was like, nah, this is just me. This is how I'm showing. No, girl, because that man is making you feel like you have to be dominant. Oh, wow, I never thought of that until now. But having somebody that like cares about how they react to you because they still see you as their partner. If you bring smoke to me, I'ma light it up. So when it comes to my mouth, like it can get crazy no matter who I'm talking to. But like, when you really respect a person and when you really love a person, you know there's an invisible line in the sand that you're never gonna cross. And I feel like one thing I had to learn was to always talk to my boyfriend as my boyfriend and always view him as the person that I really, really, really do want to be with for as long as I possibly do. You know what I mean? I think that there's an importance in having a boundary when it comes to your partner, and when you know that you both are in a hostile, aggressive, angry place, and just cutting it and be like, yo, we'll reconvene when we both calm down. We don't need to have this conversation with such high emotions. That is a different level of love, realistically, and consideration. I didn't mean for this episode to be like my reflection on my relationship or anything like that, but now that I'm talking about it, it's just so many things that are like, bing, bing, bing. I remember like a couple months ago, he had said to me like, we were just talking about, we have conversations often about, okay, what should I change different? Or what should I change to make you feel more loved? Or what should I do different? Or what do I need to do more of, right? And I remember one day he said, like, when you're mad at me, like, it takes me forever to win you back. And when he said it, this is on me being a grown woman and growing and healing, and you know? But when he said it, I was like, I do, in fact, do that. And it was just like, as soon as he said it, I took accountability, because I was like, I know that I do that, because sometimes I'll catch myself doing it and be like, okay, girl, like, he then said sorry 6 times, like, why are you not just letting it go? But I realized that in my past relationships or my past whatever ships, that was when I got the most attention, was when I was mad at somebody. Because that was when he was showing me the most attention, saying he's sorry, giving me gifts, showing me love. You know what I mean? That would be the most attention I would have gotten from that person. So again, that's a learned unhealthy behavior that traveled with me to my healthy relationship. And it wasn't until he pointed it out to me that I was like, wow, I need to unlearn my unhealthy behaviors. And I think that if you would have told me a year ago that I would be as happy as I am right now and things would be falling into place for me and that I would be in a loving relationship a year from now, I would have never believed you. I would have always been like, nah, I'm going to be living by myself with my dog. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be single forever with me and my dog and that's it. My dog ended up dying. Like, what are the odds? Like, I would have never believed a lot of the things that happened in my life this year, I would have never believed that they were going to happen a year ago. But it's just like, life prepares you constantly for what's to come and for the things you're going to have to endure. And I just think that in the new year, you know, being that I passed my test, being that I'm registered for classes, being that I can literally taste my master's degree. Can you believe that? Do you understand? This test has been over my head for like a year. Like, truthfully, I walked out of this test crying. Like, it's funny because I walked out crying and I started laughing because I was like, wow, I cried the last time I took this test too. Trauma. I want to be on the board of John Jay one day just to like express my opinion about this qualifying exam that they're making these students take, because I would literally give my direct experience and be like, yo, please, like, you are inflicting pain on these children and that's terrible. So yeah, but that's my opinion on that. But anyway, I am just happy. I was definitely one of the girls last year that was eating grapes under the table for New Year's. And look at me now in a relationship, like 6 months in, like, whoa, that's crazy. But like, I don't know. I tell them all the time, like, a lot of the things that I've went through in my love life that led me to you, I'm so grateful for, because you just know when you find that person that you know is ready to ride for you, you just know. And like, it totally makes everybody that you talk to or had anything with or dated, it makes all of that, all of those past experiences that could have, you know, broken your heart or just let you down, it makes it all worth it. Because it's like, yo, I learned this, and this from him. And now I can apply it to the healthy love that I'm growing. They also don't talk about the healthy love after the toxic one. Dude, so much work. Because at the end of the day, when you have a love that's healthy, you're both fighting for each other every day. Like, there's no giving up. There's no, oh, I'll talk to you, I'll ghost them and talk to them when I, no, like, you're in a relationship. This is somebody that you have to consider every single day. And you know what I mean? Like, you gotta put in the work every single day. And I think that it's just, I didn't value relationships as much as I do now that I'm in one. Because I feel like now that I'm older, I understand the concept of, like, you're sharing your life with somebody else. You're sharing your family with somebody else. You're sharing your loved ones with somebody else. Like, you're sharing your dreams and your hopes and your aspirations and what you want your life. Like, you gotta think, like, when you're in a relationship, sometimes y'all be living together. Sometimes y'all be having kids together. Like, that is such a commitment. That is such a serious, beautiful thing. And I think that, like, for so long, like I said before, this relationship, I've been single for like 3 years. And I think for so long, I had just convinced myself that I didn't want a relationship. I don't want a relationship. I don't need a man, all this stuff. Because I think that all of the situations that I was going through were letting me down time and time again. And as a woman, you kind of lose hope, because you're like, damn, this guy did this to me. This guy did this to me. Damn, I'm trying to meet new people and do new things. And he's, you know what I mean? Like, you can't trust nobody. The streets are for the streets. Yeah, and I don't miss them at all, because it was cold and lonely and dark and dirty. So, yeah, like, It's also very funny because a lot of me and like a couple of my homegirls are like in new relationships, or me and a couple of people that I actually know are in new relationships, and it's like everybody's experience is different and everybody's coming together and they're saying the same thing, like, yo, this healthy shit is hard, like, you know what I mean? Like, but at the end of the day, I'd rather be healthy than laid up with a guy that I don't even know where he been at, who he been with, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have the energy for that anymore. And I think I'm happy that I did experience that, because now that, like, I go to sleep every night next to this man that, like, I know loves me so crazy. Yeah, like, the security that I feel is also something I've never really experienced. 100%, I'm always looking over my shoulder because I feel like, well, it's happened to me before, it could happen again. You know, and even now, in this relationship that I'm in right now, like, yes, I'm in love. Yes, I'm happy. Yes, I see myself with this person for the long run. But at the same time, I also know in the back of my mind that shit don't always work out. And, you know, people sometimes think that they're for each other and they don't end up being. So I've done my affirmations. I've done my, you know, soft girl talk. If this does not work for me, that is okay. But I do have a lot of faith in it working for me. But that's, I think, as women, we also have to really, when we do find somebody good and we are actually trying to build with them, we also have to constantly always remember that if it goes left, that's okay as well. You know, because it was supposed to go left. So we just gotta not let anything get us too high or too low. Yes, be in love. Yes, do all the things, but just, you know, remember who you are at the end of the day and remember what could happen. But still pursue your love full force. Don't let nobody ruin nothing that makes you happy. Okay? That's what this year has also taught me. Five things 2023 has taught me. Let's see. Let's go. Don't let nobody ruin nothing that makes you happy. Make lots of memories and have the most fun you can. Love on your people, because life is so short and anything can happen. I hate this topic. I really, truly do. I feel like the topic of money in general really bothers me, because I understand the struggle that some people have and how uncomfortable that struggle can make you feel. Baby, there's no worse feeling than being broke. I don't care what nobody tell me. No worse feeling than being broke and waiting for your paycheck. Listen, that's why I don't knock nobody. I don't care where you work. I don't care what you do, as long as you're making money and you are happy and you're good. That's it. Savings is very important. As I'm getting older, I'm realizing, like, just all the ways I could have saved myself if I had savings to fall back on, or more savings to fall back on, you know? And go where the love is, bro. Go where the love is. Go where you're loved. Go where you're appreciated. Go where you're wanted. Go where you're cherished. Because those are going to be the best people. Those are going to be, you need to surround yourself with people that admire you wholeheartedly. Like, truthfully and honestly, every one of my friends and everybody that I surround myself with, I admire and I adore and I love. And I see them as being greater people than they already are in the future. Like, I feel like you should look at everybody that you surround yourself with and feel that way. Like, I want you to win. I love you. I care for you. You know what I mean? So surround yourself with the right people and the people that make you feel that. And go where you are loved, you are celebrated, and you are happy at. My New Year's resolutions are to just get my master's. I can't wait to get my master's. That's going to be amazing. I need to get a new job in my field. I need to get it going. I need to start stacking my bread. I need to, you know what I mean? 2024 sounds like a serious, serious year. We need to really step up. We've been cruising along this whole time. We need to really, you know, up the score, shall I say. I'm going to be 24 this year. I'm going to be 24 this year. Yeah. But, you know, Taurus season is going to be great. And I want everybody to not take social media so seriously. Spend less time on social media. And even if you are on social media, don't take that shit seriously. I hope that my farewell for this episode will be that I hope everybody had an amazing holiday. I hope everybody had an amazing New Year. I hope that whoever is going through the winter blues and not feeling like themselves and feeling low energy or losing interest in the things that they once enjoyed so much, I am praying for you. I care about you a lot. I hope you know that it will be summer again and it will be hot outside again and we'll be, you know, unfortunately for a lot of us, this is a part of our cycle. This is a part of our yearly cycle, where the sad emotions just come and take over once the winter starts to come and once the weather starts to change. Unfortunately, that's our reality for some of us. We just need to get better and better every year at working through it and minimizing the effect it has on us. But you are loved, you are important, you are worthy, you are special. And I hope you know that. I really, really do. I really care about mental health, but I also care about people feeling heard and feeling seen. I've lost family members to depression and mental illness. I would hope that my podcast could be the one podcast that you know you could really feel loved and feel appreciated and feel special. So I do care about y'all. I hope the winter blues goes away very soon, which I know she will. I truly hope everybody had a happy, wonderful holiday, and that you are excited for the return of Just Jay. Also, I'm going to drop this episode, and then I'm also going to give you the collab with Trendy. So don't worry. You're welcome. You're welcome. I know you waited a long time, so I'm going to give you two for the price of one. Okay? Bye.